Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 9th of December 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man and background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of COVID-19, so that's just one on the Isle of Man in non-community isolation. So just who are the COVID comeovers? The Landlord's Registration Bill gets a battering, the Island Games postponed till 2023 and back on Manx soil in 2029, and the iconic Cozy Nook is to be demolished. And all this on another flume-free Wednesday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
And first of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Alex Watton.
Fastamai, one of Port Erin's most iconic buildings, is set to be demolished. Commissioners have backed a motion to knock down the Cozy Nook Cafe on the end of the seafront by 5-3. An alternative way to install telecoms cables in the road rather than overhead at a housing estate in the south of the island is being considered by Manx Telecom. A meeting to discuss the erection of poles at Ballacry Park that was due to take place on Thursday has been postponed while microducting is priced up. And this week's coronavirus media conference has been moved from tomorrow to Friday. The updates from government normally take place at 4 o'clock, but will instead start at 2 o'clock this week. It's being described as a general update to the public. Further afield, and Boris Johnson is on his way to Brussels for dinner with the European Commission President as they try to secure a last-minute Brexit trade deal. Earlier, the Prime Minister said nobody in his position could accept the current terms of the EU's insisting on. The UK health regulator says anyone with a history of significant allergic reactions shouldn't have the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine. That's as a precautionary measure. Two NHS workers became unwell after getting the jab yesterday, and an investigation is underway. Meanwhile, the first person to receive it, 90-year-old Margaret Keenan, has been discharged from hospital, and Canada has now approved the vaccine, describing it as safe, effective, and of good quality. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Enter the Man Benham Advent Calendar Draw. Just visit us on Facebook and answer the question. Man Benham, here for you this Christmas. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you. Alex from the Ronalds Way Met Office. Irish Sea Weather projects some strong winds in the North Irish Sea for the next 12 hours. On the Isle of Man tonight, light and patchy rain on a fresh southeasterly, down to 7 degrees through the night. The Thursday, Jordan, it's cloudy and showery on a moderate southerly, becoming persistent. Tomorrow evening, top temperatures 9. The overnight minimum into Friday is 7. And Friday, Jahenya, cloudy with intermittent rain on a light breeze, up to 9 degrees. The matrix signs showing fog on the mountain tonight. So take care. High water, 28 minutes past 6. Low water is at 2 minutes past 1 a.m. High water tomorrow morning, 7 minutes past 7. Sun rises tomorrow morning at 27 minutes past 8, so it's getting light shortly before 8. And low water Thursday afternoon at 1:30.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit us at Snugborough to see our range of picture frame glass, mirrors and tabletop glass.
An iconic rally stage could be lost if plans for permanent road humps go ahead in Castletown. Manx Autosport President Mark Ellison says the traffic calming measures would have huge consequences for the event.
It's also a safety issue as well. So you can imagine if a car's coming down a road and hits one of these bumps and sends it into the air, where's it going to land? It's a little bit more than just, you know, hoping and praying. What we really want the Department of Infrastructure to do is to look at it. As I said before, we fully support traffic calming, but not to the extent where the roads that these are on, we will not be able to use.
There was a public consultation on the proposed traffic calming measures earlier this year. Is this the first time you're raising these concerns?
We have spoken to the DOI about it. The information that we initially received and the Castletown commissioners initially received, that they would be removable, this now seems not to be the case. And what we're looking at is for the department to actually use sections that can be removed. I mean, we didn't consider to use non-removable ones for the TT races, would we?
What about those people who would say, well, why is this stage so important? Could you not organise for the rally to be in a different part of the island that doesn't have speed bumps?
How many Castletowns are there? There's only one. Castletown is known throughout the rallying world as an iconic stage. It brings much prestige to the Isle of Man. And now we're going to do is basically cancel that stage. And any other place that these speed bumps, which will be permanent, will put in.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
You may call them COVID comeovers. They're the people who, since March, have become Manx residents. Middle MHK Bill Shimmin says it's important to know the breakdown of who's coming to the Isle of Man and how old they are. In Key's question, the Minister, Ray Harmer, was unable to supply the information. John Moss spoke to Mr. Shimmins and to the Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper.
There have been a number of people who've come to help us, working in the health service or in the schools or in the private sector, to take up employment contracts. There are also other people who have been admitted and have obtained Manx residency because they have purchased a property. So it's keen, I think, for all of us to understand the makeup of that inward migration.
It's a good thing, isn't it, that people see the Isle of Man as a safe haven at this time?
I think what we need to do is understand the makeup of our inward migration, because clearly we need people to come here and help. And also, there are some concerns about the local housing market, and there are some people who feel that actually one of the reasons that the housing market has become very active is there's been a large influx of people who are purchasing property. I'm keen to understand the dynamics in this a bit more detail, because clearly that will drive a lot of government service needs. So in the terms of the makeup of people that are coming here, what is the age makeup of the people that are coming? Because we know actually that the Isle of Man has one of the oldest average population in the world. You would reasonably expect that potentially that means that you have an additional requirement on the health service, for example. So we need to understand the 720, what is the makeup of that inward migration? So I think it's a good start. I was slightly concerned to hear from the minister that he was saying that actually due to data protection issues that he was unable to divulge this split. Now, my view is you can divulge the split anonymously without saying actually this person came and they bought this property.
I think the minister was actually explaining that under data protection you can't acquire the information in the first place. You have to have a legitimate reason to ask the questions, and in terms of age, actually that's not one of the requirements set out in the regulations, so some of this information simply may not be getting collected because it isn't a requirement for the exemptions process.
Well, I disagree with that, because I think it's actually really important in the national interest, and I think that's an overriding consideration in terms of we understand the makeup of the people that are coming to the island, because that will enable us to plan more effectively.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Good evening. It's 22 minutes before 6. The Ben McCree left Heysham at 7 minutes past 2. She's yet to arrive in Douglas Harbour. She should be arriving in the next 10 minutes or so. And once she's turned round, departing at 7.45, heading for Heysham, arriving there at 11:30 tonight, departing at 02:15 tomorrow morning, and arriving back in Douglas at 6 o'clock.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The next Island Games will be held in 2023. Guernsey will still play host after next year's Games were postponed because of the pandemic. Future events have also been bumped back 2 years, so that'll see Orkney host the multi-sport event in 2025, Inismon in 2027, that's Anglesey, and the Isle of Man in 2029. The chairman of the Island Games Association, Jorgen Pettersson.
In addition to the obvious issues with the pandemic, our member islands also had concerns about not being able to raise funds because of the economic problems. Competitors not being able to prepare in the usual way through training and competition, and not wanting to move to even years as they have commitments to other events, etc. It is fair to say that we all feel disappointment to not be able to meet and compete in our beloved games until 2023. Sports and friendship have created legacies, memories, passion and ambitions to all our member islands. We will continue to do that when the world will open again. We will meet in Guernsey and we will make sure to continue to develop sport in our islands. The year of 2023 may seem like far away, but we are confident the time to heal and recover will be needed in many different aspects. The NatWest International Island Games have brought islands together, and when we have dealt with the pandemic, we will share joy, sport and togetherness again.
Manx Radio's business briefing.
20 to 6. Now, Royal Dutch Shell have been hit by a wave of resignations over the company's shift to greener fuels, just weeks after the oil giant is due to unveil its strategy for energy transition. Several top execs in the clean energy part of Shell have departed in recent weeks amid reports of deep divisions over how far and fast the company reduces its dependence on oil gas revenues. Pressure's been mounting on Royal Dutch Shell after rival BP announced in August it would cut oil and gas production by 40% by 2030. And the world has a new biggest advertiser. It is Amazon. The retail giant spent $11 billion on advertising in 2019 and takes the throne from the consumer packaged goods company Procter & Gamble, which has been the top spender nearly every year since tracking marketing spend data began in 1987. Other companies in the top 10 include L'Oreal, Samsung, Unilever, Alphabet, aka Google, and AT&T. Total ad spend for the 100 largest advertisers hit an eye-popping $300 billion. That's the business news.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks traded higher as market focus in the region remains firmly on the progress of Brexit. The dollar fell, oil turned slightly lower following a surprise inventory build in US stockpiles, gold slipped, and in corporate news, stocks that have benefited from the coronavirus pandemic and related restrictions were also on the rise, with Just Eat Takeaway and Ocado both higher. Neil Wilson, chief market analyst at Markets.com, said as the UK's vaccination programme begins, the Oxford University and AstraZeneca vaccine has been confirmed as being safe and effective in a Lancet study. Meantime, the FDA the Food and Drugs Administration in America, that is, has confirmed the efficacy and safety of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, clearing the way for its imminent approval and use in the United States. And the numbers now. The close in London, the FTSE 100 was flat at 6,564. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.5% at 13,340. At 5 o'clock, still going strong, the Dow Jones flat at 30,118. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.33% at 12,536. In Chicago, the S&P 500 down 0.25% at 3,694. And in the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1.33.9, €1.10.6, and 20 South African rand and 2 cents. And finally, commodities. Gold down 1.5% at $1,843 per troy ounce. And Brent crude, a barrel of Brent crude, up 0.75% at $49.20.
The Stock Market Report was brought to you by Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
One of Port Erin's most iconic buildings is set to be knocked down. Commissioners have backed a motion to demolish the green and white beauty of the Cozy Nook Cafe on the end of the seafront by 5-3. A planning application for a replacement beachside venue still under consideration. Our local Democracy reporter Chris Cave.
The traditional Manx cottage building has been vacant since its previous tenants left in May last year, with both the public and the local authority at odds as to what should be done with the popular former cafe. Dawn Sims' motion to demolish the property received support from fellow commissioners Phil Crellin, Barbara Guy, Jerry Collister and Nick Watterson last night. Chairman Godfrey Egie opposed, as did Adrian Tinkler and Steve George. A raised three-storey building, which can be used as an evening restaurant, is detailed in the proposal submitted to planners. It would be powered by a mix of solar panels, wind turbines and air source heat pumps to meet environmental needs and also include improved accessibility. However, it's not yet known if the design will be approved. Meanwhile, a survey undertaken by Russian Heritage Trust found majority of residents in the village were opposed to the plans, The organisation says it's formally against the redevelopment following the decisive results of its online survey.
Manx Radio Sport.
Faster my Tim Glover.
FC Isle of Man have named their squad to play the Isle of Man FA representative side in a charity game on the 16th of December at 7 o'clock at the Bowl. It is Matt Quirk, Dean Cairns, Sean Quay, Ryan Burns, Callum Sherry, Jack Snidle, Sid Batty, Jack Kamada, Ash Higginbotham, Alex Holden, Ronan McDowell, Matthew Wilkinson, Steve Whitley, Chris Bass Jr., Furrow Davies, Nathan Cardi, Josh Kane and Ben Wazza. Rugby, and we know that Douglas North have sewn up the Manx trophy, but the Manx Bowl is still finely balanced. Emerging Nomads know if they beat Vagabonds Hornets this weekend, the title is theirs. A Vaggers win could send the game down to a final decider between Vaggers and Ramsey B. Further afield, and players walked off the pitch last night after the fourth official was accused of using a racist term during the Champions League game between Paris Saint-Germain and Istanbul. It happened as one of the Turkish team's coaches was sent off following an exchange on the touchline. Chairman of the anti-discrimination group, Kick It Out, says both teams deserve credit for their reaction.
I think the players did the right thing, and in future, I think they'll feel more confident to do that if something similar happened again.
The match will resume tonight with a different set of officials. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola is expected to make several changes for their Champions League game tonight. It's their final one. They host Marseille, but they've already qualified for the knockout stages. And of course, they got the derby with Manchester United on Saturday in the Premier League. Elsewhere, Liverpool are away to Midtjylland. In the Championship, Norwich can retake top spot tonight when they host Nottingham Forest.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
One departure, one arrival at Ronald's Way. The 4:50 to Liverpool left 3 minutes late. Back in this evening at 6:40. The Matrix signs are showing fog on the mountain. The Ben McCree has just ended Douglas Inner Harbour, and there are 24-hour traffic lights for drainage and curbing work. And Quarterbridge Road in Douglas, that rolls on until a week on Friday. Ballyfeston Road, Port Erin's 24-hour temporary traffic lights for bus stop refurb work, and 24-hour lights on King Edward Road in Oncombe for railway work. Still those 24-hour lights, temporary lights, narrow lanes and associated waiting and turning restrictions on Lock, Harris Central and Queen's Promenades in Douglas. Westlands and Peel is closed for demolition and refurb and extension work. Station Park in Colby closed for curb replacement and resurfacing. Those phase closures in Peel for water main replacement and sewerage infrastructure. On East Quay between Garage and Mariner's Wharf. From Friday, they halt there, and next Monday, they move on to Mariner's Wharf to the Quayside Restaurant. All the details at manxradio.com. Powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Ignite your blue with Toyo Tyres. Solely available at Quayside Tyres and Car Service Centre, South Quay Industrial Estate.
The Landlord's Registration Private Housing Bill has been given its second reading, but not before a swinging attack on it delivered by Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper, who failed in an attempt to put it to a committee. He argued for a long look at the bill's structure before it becomes law, requiring a number of changes.
My worry is the willingness of the department to do that. So, to date, they haven't been particularly enthusiastic about engaging on changes. Instead, they've been quite dismissive and obstructive, actually, is the way I would describe them so far. So I have very little faith that if we just give this back to the department and say, please go try again, we won't get a very different outcome.
Do you feel this is necessary?
In short, the answer is yes, actually. I think there are lots of potential upsides for minimum standards, which already exist. It's just about better enforcing. I think Chris Thomas said it quite well, that we already have a lot of these standards in place already. So this is about visibility. It's about better enforcement of existing law. That's really what we're talking about here. So when the department says a lot of this stuff already exists, they're right, it does, but not quite in this way and not with these sanctions that they're already proposing.
This is after 4 years. I suppose people are thinking, surely they must have these sort of regulations in other places. Why don't we just adopt that?
And that's essentially what it looks like has happened, but they've adopted part of the regulations and then tried to make a hash of the bits they haven't adopted. So the Scottish law, for example, is very similarly worded to this in terms of having a landlord and a representative, but the Scots have a very specific extra bit, which is for lettings agents. So if you're a professional firm, you can be regulated in a professional way, and the representative element only really applies to if I'm managing my dad's property or something. But the way we've adopted it over here is we've left out that professional regulation entirely, and so they're designing a system that is essentially looking to reinvent the way you regulate people. We have lots of regulated sectors on the Isle of Man, and they all take a very similar approach, which is you regulate the decision makers, you regulate the people that are responsible in those various organisations, and you hold them accountable when things don't work. What the department's proposing to do is instead to regulate everybody.
Do you want to see the public and the private sectors join together?
In terms of regulation, I don't see why there shouldn't be one single standard that applies to everyone, and it should be enforced in the same way. And there's a real risk here, actually. The department, let's not forget, is a public sector landlord in its own right. So there is a real element of vested interest in not imposing regulation on themselves. And I think that's probably the real reason we're not seeing a single bill that covers everybody, is because the department doesn't want to hand over that regulatory power to someone else to regulate them. Their view on their own properties is everything is absolutely perfect, there's nothing to worry about. And then when you ask them for details, the answer often is, well, we can't tell you the detail, we don't have that information.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
COVID-19 restrictions continue to cause disruption to postal networks across the world. Tomorrow, Thursday the 10th, is the last posting date for Christmas to Austria, Denmark, Germany, Iceland, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Slovakia, Spain, Switzerland, Belgium, France, Ireland and Luxembourg. A bill that seeks to cut the number of votes required in the House of Keys to oust a chief minister from 16 to 13 has comfortably been given its second reading, 20 votes to 4. But Alfred Cannon, MHK, his bill some years ago caused moved such a vote from Timwell to the Keys, urged caution. The mover of the bill, Daphne Kane, says there's never been such a vote in 30 years.
One chief minister resigned mid-term, perhaps seeing the writing on the wall. He stated it was to protect the office of Chief Minister after being questioned by police over government tourism premises grants. Several motions were tabled to seek a vote of no confidence in individual ministers, but on all but one occasion, these were not seconded or not brought. One that proceeded to a vote failed to gain majority support of members. The bill before us will reduce the number of votes needed to remove the council of ministers to a straight majority of the Keys, from the present two-thirds majority required. I strongly believe that a government that has lost the support of the majority of honourable members has lost its credibility and authority. It would be untenable for the leader of such a government to stay in office.
Well, I will stand as the mover of the original amendment in 2016 that changed the face of the election in terms of bringing it down to the House of Keys and removing it from Tynwald's grasp, and at the time, in moving what was then a pretty small bill, we did debate this matter. I don't regard it as a regrettable anomaly. I think actually, if you look across the world, there are lots and lots and lots of examples of parliaments where two-thirds majority is required. So I just merely point out that this sort of supermajority idea, which exists both in corporate law and indeed constitutionally in many, many examples. All I would say to honourable members, you do need to think very, very carefully about this, and particularly in amongst a number of independents. If a chief minister comes on with a very, very narrow vote, a particularly difficult time, and there will be difficult times ahead for this nation, I'm sure, one needs to think very carefully, particularly if there is a particularly contentious issue.
The head of the AFD group says government border policy has had a knock-on effect on his business. David Doricott from the Ramsey-based software company has praised authorities for eliminating coronavirus locally, but warns it's hit some firms in unexpected ways. He gave his views on the border policy to Manx Radio's Ewan Gorn.
Our border policies have helped us eliminate the virus from these shores and maintain some semblance, well, a large semblance of normal life. But we have no strategy that I'm aware of for the fact that our population remains vulnerable to the disease. I know we're just about to launch the vaccine program, and that may be the answer. But at the moment, it's hurting business. It's hurting families who are unable to see loved ones.
So how is it hurting business?
Well, because we can't recruit, people are concerned about coming to an island and not being able to leave or not having their families come along. I know in some schools that teachers have gone back to the UK because of the stress placed by that. And in our case, we have colleagues around the world, as you just said. We can't see them. We haven't been able to see them now for about a year. And whilst our team is really cohesive and works extremely well together, it's part of the innovation and the dynamic of our team interaction is suppressed by not being able to spark off one another. And you can do a certain amount online. We're a technology business and we can do that stuff, but it's not the same. Innovation does grow when people get together with those ideas.
That's it for Update tonight. And remember, details of the stories you've heard on this update and more Manx news, interviews, podcasts, and the web's biggest source of Manx videos from Manx Radio, Culture Vannin and Manx National Heritage are all at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. Like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Update is compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Alex Watton and producer Ewan Gorn. I'm Andy Wint, back tomorrow night at 5:30. Stick around for Spotlight with Sarah Hendy, and at 6:30, the greatest hits on earth with George Ferguson. W-I-N-T.